Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. There's a whole lot more there than I'll ever preach, that's for sure. I just want to touch on a thing or two here tonight. I don't know if y'all have noticed it or not, but there's pollen in there. I'm sure nobody's paid any attention to that. But not a lot of people having problems with that, including myself. But that's all right. Going to be summertime here, and everybody getting church. Everybody's going to get better and get in church, and church going to fill up. And praise God. I'm excited about it. All right, 2 Corinthians in chapter number 8. Let's stand, please, while I read the Word of God. Let's look at verse number 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first. And pay close attention to that. But first gave them their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. I think that's a very key thing that we need to keep in mind as we think about mission giving. But first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now look down in verse number 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. I'll come back to that in a little bit. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. If you look in verse number 9, chapter 9, verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. That's important. God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make, and I love this verse, listen to what it says. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. If you'll notice in that verse of scripture, always, all grace, always, all sufficiency in all things. That's pretty good. I don't know how you can get any better than that. Then look in verse number 15 of that same chapter. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's bow our heads. Father, ask you for a few moments if you'll help me. I pray for the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, I pray you make it deep down in our hearts that we'll understand maybe a little more about giving. And I pray that it'll be understanding more about how we as a church operate, and pray how that you would have us to do and help us ever be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit and say those things pleasing in your sight. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we deal with this subject of giving tonight, let me say this to start with. And that last verse I just read to you, but thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The greatest gift that was ever given was given by the Lord himself. When Jesus gave himself for our sin, that's the greatest gift that was ever given any time, any place, anywhere in the universe was the greatest gift was the Lord Jesus Christ when he came into the world. He didn't come into the world just to be coming. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he came for us. He came to save us. And tonight, as we approach this subject, I definitely want to say to you, first of all, God gave to us. And God gave the best he had. God gave himself for us that we might be saved. I say hallelujah. If you're comparing gifts of giving, then what we do doesn't amount to a hill of beans to what he did. Because he gave us life itself. We wouldn't even be breathing if God didn't give you life. We wouldn't even be here if God hadn't give us life. So it's all about God. It's all about him, what he gave. And he first gave himself so we could be saved. And if you don't know for sure that you're saved tonight, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that you'll come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Look at verse number 9 of chapter 8. I said I'd come back to it a while ago in verse 9, chapter 8. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now, I want you to notice in that verse, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now, in that verse of Scripture, I think you can apply that to some degree on the physical end of it, but really what he's talking about is the fact of spiritual matters. And he's not saying that if you get saved, you're going to be rich in this world's goods. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying if you get saved, I'm going to make you a millionaire and you'll have it made. That is not what he's saying. He's saying he became poor. He left all the glories of heaven and came down here, had no place to lay his head, had nothing to ride on, barred a donkey, barred a tomb. He didn't have anything. And in that sense, he was literally poor. But I believe really the reality of it goes much deeper than that. He was poor in the sense that he went to Calvary and there was made our sin, that we might be made his righteousness. And when he was, as it were, our sins put upon him and his righteousness put upon us, he was made poor spiritually concerning because he took my sin and your sin. And we're poor, sinful creatures outside the Lord Jesus Christ. But because he was made poor, we can be saved. I don't even know. Did I cut myself off? What did I do? Never been on. Okay, now I am. I knew something was wrong, but I couldn't figure it out. Modern technology. All you got to do is push one button. I didn't even get it pushed right. But anyway, where am I? I was talking about being saved. Amen. You can always go back to that because it'd work anywhere. Amen. But we're talking about being made poor. He was made poor for our sakes that we might be rich. And I said that rich didn't mean rich in physical things. God, I believe, will bless you in some things physically. I believe God will help you what you need physically. I believe that. But he didn't know where. And by the way, let me just plug this in while I'm talking about it. And you've heard me say it before, but being saved, being born again, does not take away all needs that you have physically. It does not take away every sickness that you'll ever have physically. It does not take away the fact that there'll be problems. It does not take away those kind of things. People sometimes get the idea, well, if I get saved, everything's going to be rosy and I'm going to just drift right on through to heaven and not have a problem one. That sounds good, but just not so. And there's some today that will try to tell you that's the way it is. You get saved and God just let everything go by and you'll just be fine. Well, you will be fine and you can do good and it will be a blessing. It'll be joy and it'll be something you've never experienced before and it'll be much better than being lost. Amen. And so I can safely say it's much better than being lost is to be saved and born in the family of God. And tonight, if you're not saved, my sincere desire prior to God is for every boy, every girl, every man, every woman in this house tonight to be saved. Saved, saved. And how do you get saved, preacher? Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. How do you get saved? Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God for your sin, faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, and that'll bring you into salvation. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. He said that I believe that, amen. And I got saved that way. If you ever got saved, you got saved that way.
That's the way anybody ever got saved. Now, you may have said different words. You may have been standing up. You may have been driving the car. May have been down by the bedside. It may have been in an altar in a church. And it may be walking down the aisle in the church. But somewhere, sometime, you had to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you ever got saved, you know it happened to you. Amen. I'm glad I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. God became so real in my heart, and religion didn't do it. I was religious, but I was lost. It was when I really gave my heart to Christ, when I really realized if I ever went to heaven, I'd go on His merit and not mine. And trying to be good and trying to do right just wouldn't get it. But when I gave it up and said, Lord, it's a salvation. I'm like Jonah in the belly of the whale. Said, salvation is of the Lord. And I realized that fact, then I just moved out of that realm of trying to be good enough into the realm of believing that God had already sent Jesus to do it for me, and He had already paid the price. I could be saved through Jesus Christ, have His righteousness, and then I wanted to live right. I wanted to do what was right. Had a desire to go to churches. I had a desire to learn more. Had a desire for all those things. Now, was my desire always what it ought to be? No. Did I always do what I knew I ought to do? No. Did I always have full of joy and running over? No. These times I'd scratch my head and wonder about myself. But you've been saved any length of time. You know what I'm talking about. You've been there and done that. And you realize that. I got to get off of this. Every time I get to preaching about being saved, I want to hang on to it. Amen. I just believe people ought to get saved and born in the family of God. And I certainly don't believe everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of God. The Bible said it wasn't. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It said many in that day will come and say, Lord, Lord, do we not in thy name cast out devils, in thy name do many wonderful works and all that. He's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. He didn't say, I once knew you and forgot about you. He just said, I never did know you. You just never did repent and get right. Never did get saved biblical way. And so you're not saved, and I didn't know you. Don't know you, and you can't come to heaven that way. Have to be born again by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit of God working in your heart and drawing you to Jesus. Now, I just wanted to say a word about that, but I've said several words about that. Are you saved? Do you know you're saved? If you had to drop over right now without having time to say, Lord, save me, without having time to say anything, just drop, heart quit, fell over. Do you know you go to heaven? If that trump sounded right now and the shout said, come up hither, would you immediately be changed and go up and be with the Lord Jesus? Hallelujah. It may happen before I quit preaching. It may come to pass before I get out of this pulpit and we get out of this church tonight. I can't think of a better place to go to heaven from than right here. Amen. I'd please me very well if I could just go to heaven right from the pulpit and just go right on into glory. Wouldn't that be a joy and a blessing of it? And Brother Tim, wouldn't it be a joy to be leading the choir and rapture come, just head out singing, just keep on singing while you went up. Amen. And what a joy that would be. Preaching will be over, but singing will be on. Amen. Shouting, praising God be joy. And I'm glad for all of that. That's not, well, I did want to say that. That absolutely I wanted to say tonight. Because we'll never get any further than giving if we don't get there. You'll never give right. You may give, but you never give right until you get there. You've got to get saved first. But then let me say something else. Look back in verse number 5 of this chapter I read to you. And this they did, not as we hope, but. There's that holy conjunction, Brother Bill A. Dyer. I always think of you when I think about them. That's what he called them, holy conjunctions. But first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. I thought about that verse. I've been meditating on that thing. They first, he said, now, we're going to receive a gift, and this for a specific purpose. And said, we talked about that a year ago, what we're going to do. And now he said, do it. But he said, first what they did, and using an illustration from another church, said, first what they did, they gave themselves unto the Lord. They gave themselves unto the Lord. And you'll never give until you give yourself unto the Lord. And pardon me. Unless you really get down to business that God is the first place in your life and that His word is absolutely truth and that you absolutely want to be obedient unto Him and follow Him in all things, until you get there, the giving will never be right. because you're not letting God lead your life. Now, I believe I mentioned it Sunday about the Lordship of Christ. He comes in as Lord, and we must accept Him as Lord. He is Lord. Whatever I say about Him, He's Lord anyway, so we need to accept that and trust Him as that. But we don't always allow Him to be Lord over all of our lives. We sometimes reserve some part of it for ourselves, and we'll let God do certain things with us, but if we're not careful, we will rebel and come up to the place that God says do something that we really don't want to do, and so we just kind of back off of it and get out of the will of God. But if you first give yourself unto the Lord, there's no reservations then. There's nothing, no place to stop. You just keep on going. And Romans 12, 1 and 2 said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is it good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And that being in the Word of God, it is the Word of God, then we are to give ourselves a living sacrifice. And if we give ourselves a living sacrifice, I believe that includes everything we've got. I believe it includes all that we have. And so that we need to understand that if we're going to get to giving right, then we have to, first of all, be right with God, take His gift that He gave to us. Number two, make sure that we give ourselves back unto Him. That He wants us. He doesn't want an animal sacrifice anymore. He made the sacrifice. He owns everything anyhow, but He wants us, a living sacrifice. And when we get to that point in our life, then we can begin to really pray and ask God to help us with all the rest that we need to do in giving so that God may help us do that. I want you to turn with me, please, back over in Malachi. Don't faint. When you say Malachi, first thing you think about is tithing. And there's all kinds of arguments about it. It's not for New Testament times. But Jesus said that you ought to do it. And if He said you ought to do it, then I believe you ought to do it. And tithing, by the way, did not start with the law. Abraham was tithing the Melchizedek a long time before Sinai ever thundered. And it's a principle given throughout the Word of God. Let me ask you another question. I think it's a very pertinent question right now. What better way is there to know how you begin to give and then 10% of it? What better way is it? And they brought their first fruits, and 10% of the first fruits always brought in first, and they did that. And so, and I realize that you can go to seed on this. I realize that, and I've tried not to do that, but I do want to help you. I do want you to see it, and I want you to know that it's God's Word. Let me say this. I know some situations people are into it, maybe husband, maybe wife, maybe they're not able to do what they really like to do. I know that. That's between them and God. I'm not trying to make anybody do anything. But look at verse number 8 in Malachi chapter 3. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse. Now, notice what he said here, bring ye all your tithes. He said, you robbed me in tithes and offerings. And then he said in verse number 10, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse. And I got a reason for emphasizing that right there, and I'll come back to it in a minute. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. I like that kind of blessings. I like a blessing so great that I don't have room enough to receive it. Can't take it all in. Amen. He said, now if you bring all your tithes in the storehouse, and the storehouse then was a temple, now it's a church. And it didn't say send your tithes down to radio preacher, down to TV preacher. He said, bring it in the house of God. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. Everything was within me. I believe the local church. Amen. I am a local church man. I believe that's where we need to give it. And do it that way. And I don't know any better way than 10% of that. And I didn't see that in my young life, but later was exposed to it. God began to deal with my heart about it. And I found out it's a joy to give to the Lord. And I felt, and I wondered, well, what should I give? How should I give it? And I didn't start out just exactly right. I started out trying to take part of it and do something else with it, and yet giving it away, but I wasn't bringing it into the storehouse. And God got a hold of me about that. He said, that's not the way I said do it. I said, bring it into the storehouse. Bring your tithes into the storehouse. And so I believe, you say, preacher, now that tithing business don't go good. People don't like. I know that, but we need to hear it. Why do we need to hear it? Because it's the Word of God. It's a principle throughout the Word of God that 10% is God's. And so as you give, bring that into the storehouse of God, you're just doing what God said to do. Do you think you can do more with 90% without God's blessings than you can do with, 100% without God's blessings, than you can do with 90% with God's blessings? I believe with God's blessings, 90% will go a whole lot further than 100% will without God's blessings. And the promise here in verse number 10 is bringing the tithes into the storehouse of God, and that's the church. And so as you tithe, bring that in, and you don't stop at that, but he said tithes and offerings. And so I hold this thought with your mind about tithes and offerings and bringing the tithes in the storehouse of God, and then we'll talk about that in just a moment. I really want to get across one point that I guess it really is what I was driving at all day and all night last night. And yesterday I meditated and prayed and tried to find something I ought to preach tonight. I'm trying to do something to help us and get us ready for Mission Sunday. And I pray God would really pour us full of grace and God help us and do what we need to do for missions. And so he said now, and faith promise has to do with asking God what he wants you to give above your tithes. It's not part of tithes. It's over and above that. And offerings is something besides tithing. You never give an offering until you tithe first. Then the offering comes. And that offering is not always in missions. It may be somebody sick, somebody needs help, and then we give to them or give it through the church for them. And that's, I believe, scriptural. And we have mission boards. And Brother Ben Mayo wrote a great article recently on that. The mission board and why we need somebody to take care of the money and handle that and do other things in the office. And so all that needs to be done. That's faith promise giving. It's given to the church and giving that in the church so it can go into the mission. Now, sometimes you can support a missionary or something through the mission board. Understand that. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that itself. As long as, now hear me well, as long as you tithe first and give the missions through your church. Y'all still with me? Sometimes we want to pick out which one we want to do, what we want to do. And sometimes there's a special need with an individual missionary that we may feel led to help that individual missionary and need to do that, but we need some accountability for that, so that through the mission board. And then otherwise it ought to come through the church. But when here's where I really want to drive home. I hope everybody understands this. And I've heard some talk about it that I don't believe they ever got it. But when you bring your money into the church and give it to the church, it is no longer your money. It's no longer, it's not your money. It's God's. God said bring the tithes into the storehouse. It's God's storehouse. It's his church. And so when you give it, it's his. And you have no longer any part of it. And so when the church decides they want to give, not now when the church is giving 20% unto missions, that's the church is deciding that. That's what the church does. That's not what you do. That's what the church does. And what you do is over and above what you do in tithing. If you're saying, well, I give to the missions because I tithe, that's like saying I pay the preacher's salary because I tithe. Or I pay the light bill because I tithe. I pay Brother Tim because I tithe. That'd be the same principle. It'd be, because part of it's used for that, part of it's used for what I've just talked about, and part of it's used for missions. Now, what you give, what you designate, what's given for missions per se, goes directly to missions. Nothing comes out of that. We don't pay the light bill with it. Don't pay any salaries with it. We don't do anything else with that. We don't help the poor. We don't help the sick. We don't do anything with that that comes in for missions, except it's given for the missionary himself or herself, whichever the case may be. It is given for missions, and that's it. Everything that's marked missions. But when it comes in as tithe, even though the church gives 20% of that to missions, you're still not given personally to missions through that. The church is doing that. And that church has made a decision about that. May decide to give 50%. May decide to, I wish one day we could give 75% of what comes in, doing so good. You say, preacher, what about people giving themselves and getting blessed personally? Well, they ought to get in. If they can give that much so the church can go that big, they'll get a hold of the rest of it too. Amen. And if you ever get a hold of that and see that like that, it'll help you in knowing what to do and how to do your mission giving. And I'm trying to help you tonight because there's been some confusion about that. And I just want to clear it up that what the church does is what the church does. That's the church's business. And that's the church. And you personally, what you do for missions, and I'm glad you can have a part in tithing and doing that, but that's the church's business. What you give for missions and what you sacrificially give or over and above tithing give, that's a real blessing in that. That's an offering. That's bringing an offering to God. That's giving something to God. And you put missions down there and give it to the church. And the church puts it all together. And we vote here as a church what missionaries we're going to support, what mission board we're going to support, or what mission project we're going to support. And right now we're trying to raise money for the Sudan situation, but we're trying to do that on the side. That's not just this church, but other churches joining in that effort. That's a mission effort. There's nothing wrong with giving to that. And give if you can and will, that's fine. But don't forget your church. Don't forget your church. And I don't care what mission it is. And I want to see Brother Gary and him raise that money and get there. And our Bible school offering this year, we're going to take it for the Sudan situation. We try to pick a mission project every year and do something special in Bible school. And so get to laying it back now, so when Bible school gets here, we can take up a good offering for the Sudan project and get that trip made and take care of that. Now, are y'all with me so far? Y'all understand all I've said tonight? Now, I realize again, some folk have real struggles with getting started giving, and I just want to be a blessing to help to you and encourage you that if you'll do what God says, God will help you do the rest of it. And when you pray about missions, you just pray and ask God, what do you have you do? I do want to point this out to you. Verse 12, if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. He said, God doesn't expect you to give something you don't have, but he's expecting you to have a willing mind, first of all. He wants you to give yourself to the Lord, have a willing mind, and then let God lead you in what to give for missions. And God will do that. And he takes out what you have. Not, if you don't have it, don't get it. Then, and by the way, faith promise is not waiting around for God to drop you an envelope out of heaven and put it in. Sometimes it means doing without that hamburger or that steak or whatever it is, you know. Well, I can't give the missions, but we can eat hamburgers and steaks and all that kind of stuff. Gone to preaching now, hadn't I? Hey, I love you. I'm looking for our mission to pick up, and I can promise you this, every time the church, we're going to take on some missionaries. You say, preacher, why are you so sure of that? Because God's given me peace about it. We're going to take on some missionaries. We're going to do some things we need to do. We've been losing some. We've taken on some. We're going to do some more than we've been doing. But I tell you this, every time the church has ever done anything for missions, God's always blessed us for it. I don't believe he's going to stop now. That song she sang tonight, he's brought us this far. He's not going to leave us hanging now. We're going on for God. Amen. Amen. Not just in missions, but I mean going on for God, period. Father, help us tonight. Do what we need to do. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Stand to your feet, please. If you need to come pray about anything, just want to pray and ask God to forgive you or God to help you or God guide me. Whatever it is you need to pray about, just come on and do it. We're not going to prolong the invitation. Just waiting a few moments for you to just do whatever it is God wants you to do. Did you know as we obey God in matters like this, God blesses us and answers prayers in other ways?